Today on Real Radio.
Can you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It means I confess you as my Creator. I've run away from home. I've got two houses down and I found out I'm scared. The Lord says today, that's okay. I want you to be my friend. I care for the sparrows. That means I care for you. Come on home. Come back. Don't worry.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. Chapter 12 begins with another one of Messiah's hard sayings. It's a passage on fearing God. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When All Else Fails.
And you might be saying this morning, well, am I a friend of God? I don't know, are you? Here's the telling moment. Is it your desire to do what he's commanded you to do? Is that what you want to do? Yes, Jack, but listen, yes, it is, but I fail so miserably. I may have 10 things that God's given me to do, and I got 3 of them, and I failed on the next 2, and I got the next one, and I don't know how the others are going to go. Listen, I understand that struggle, but let me encourage you. Do you remember before you were a Christian, you never had that struggle at all? You didn't care. In fact, you were living for your big 10 items to do that day. Now you're living for the Lord. We struggle, yes, this flesh is weak, I understand that. Jesus says, if you love me, and since you do, you're going to be doing those things I tell you to do. And so that wonderful struggle that you and I have of wanting to follow God and the temptation to be derailed or pulled away from that is proof that we're a friend of the Lord and wanting to do what God wants and not what we want. Jesus says, you're my friend. And I love that. This friendship with God is unlike any other friendship possible to mankind. You're not going to have it. You can't have it in any other way. You can't have it by trying to keep a legalistic list of rules. Won't do it. Can't happen. Your Creator desires your presence. That's amazing to me. One author wrote that he'll be the one that will approach us. He'll be the one that initiate the conversation with us in life's circumstances. He will be the one to invite us to know his son. He will be the one to open our eyes to understand his word. And he will be the one to never give up on us. Isn't that comforting? Where shall I flee from your presence? Do you feel like quitting? Hey, Christian, come on. Do you feel like quitting sometimes in your Christian walk? It gets hard and difficult. There's no doubt about it. Difficult days are coming ahead of us. I tell you, the world is aligning against us in all kinds of ways. Did you guys hear what Vladimir Putin said this week? And by the way, Russia is experiencing an economic renaissance, you know. And lots going on. Vladimir Putin last week had hosted a gathering of nations, corporations from various nations, and Vladimir Putin announced that the U.S. dollar should no longer be a serious contender in our global economy. He said, let's embrace the euro and leave America behind. Not a nice thing to say, but if you want to destroy the United States of America, an accurate thing to say. You say, what does that mean? What are you saying? Don't worry. God provides for the sparrows. He'll provide for us too. Well, what's going to happen to what? I don't know. Putin does not rule the world though he wants to. God does. and we are his children. Do you believe that? Are you a friend of God, and do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend? Is he the number one passion driving your life to draw closer to God? If he is, praise the Lord. You guys, for redundancy, I'm sorry, but if there's one new person in here this morning, you need to hear this. On that September 30th, when I tried to do this message the first time and wound up nearly fainting in front of you and getting carted off. Thank God we stopped at the fire station rather than the hospital and laying down there. And you guys, I didn't know what was going on. I felt tingling all over. My vision is starting to go. That was happening here in the pulpit, as I announced before. It was getting smaller and smaller. And man, what's going on? And when I got over there, and they laid me down between the two fire trucks, and I began to drift away. I was just passing out, and I went out. I didn't know if I was dying or not. But let me tell you something. As I announced it last week in a kind of a private announcement to all of you guys, I want to say it again. To God be the glory. It was awesome to have these wonderful firemen, paramedics around me, and to have my family around me at the firehouse. That was great. But I got to tell you, there comes a moment when you are not in control. And they open up the shirt and they're doing all the stuff they're doing there. And it becomes very clear you're not in control. And in the midst of, I love it, in the midst of our suffering, our God is so present. He's so big. And he's so there. That I know for a fact that he cares for sparrows a lot. Because I consider myself less than a sparrow at times. I wish I could fly like they could fly. Sing like they can sing. And just laying there, I got to tell you, I almost felt guilty after I got out of the hospital and felt so much better. I felt guilty of having so much peace in the midst of the moment. And I told those firemen, "Do you guys know the Lord? It's great to know the Lord right now." He was so there. He's there in the midst of our sufferings, because what kind of a friend would he be if he didn't comfort us in our sufferings, and yet he wants us to call him friend? Oh, he's there. And he's glorious. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, "The fear," or the awe, "reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Psalm 33, verse 8 says, "Let all the earth be in awe of the Lord. Let all the habitations of the world stand in awe of him." That's how we should be living. And Exodus 3, 5, a great example of that is when God spoke to Moses, and Moses drew near to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Do not come any closer, Moses. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." That is awe of God. Our culture's lost the awe of God, the fear of God. It's too bad. He's there in our suffering. He's there in our sorrows. He's there in the difficulties. But what I want to leave with you is the comfort fact that when God says here in this chapter, in these verses, that we are to be his friends, on what basis? What will you do for me, Lord? You want this relationship? We review again verses 8 through 12, where there we learn, rejoice. We rejoice our God is all-powerful. In verses 8 and 9, we rejoice in the fact that he's got the power to save. "Also, I say to you that whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man," that's Jesus himself, will also confess him before the angels of God. By the way, that the Greek construction of that is futuristic. He's going to do it. He's going to do what? He's going to confess your name before the angels of God. Now, as good students of the Bible, we need to stop right there and say, when will this happen? And what do I need to know about it? It's going to happen when we appear before the Lord. And I don't know how to put this other than just simply say it and smile about it. But the book of Romans teaches us that Jesus Christ is our advocate. Any of you had law advocate is your defender. He is your attorney. He hasn't lost a case yet. He ain't gonna. When we stand before the Lord, Jesus will be our representative. Father, it's okay. I got this one covered in my blood. I paid for his sins at the cross. And my sacrifice of myself has washed him as white as snow. He will defend you. And apparently from Scripture, the Lamb's Book of Life will be opened, and that's where all the believers appear. And your name will be declared. Jesus says, I will confess you before the angels of heaven. Some scholars have speculated, I don't want to make this a doctrine whatsoever, it's pure speculation, that at that moment, the angels who seem to be standing indifferent, they're servants of the Most High God, they're indifferent to us. Many scholars believe that the angels are standing there indifferent in whatever repose they're in. Are they in their awesomeness? Are they standing there with their hands folded? Or do they have their wings kind of fluttering in the back? Do they have a sword pulled out? Are they leaning on a shield? I don't know. I won't know until, and you won't know until that day we stand there. But they are standing as witnesses, indifferent of who you and I are. And Jesus Christ pierces the silence and says, Father, I declare Mike, one of my lambs, one of my sheep, one of my own. Father, I declare Mike as my friend. What is your name? Will you give him the opportunity by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that in that day he will stand there and he'll say, Father, Jack's with me. Susie is with me. I just want to ask you, you answer silently, have you ever given the confession, ek homologeo, to say the same words that you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Jesus will return your confession on that day when he stands there and says, Bob is with me. He's mine. Confession. Verse 9, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. This word is an interesting word because the denial that he's speaking about, it's twofold. Number one, the denial, this person is continually, presently denying me before people, before mankind. Jesus says, and I'm sure he doesn't smile over this, he doesn't revel over this. I'm sure Jesus is saddened about this when he says, I will deny him before the angels of heaven. Look, if you've ever had a logic class and you remove your feelings out of this and you just look at this logically, Jesus said, if you confess me, I'll confess you before the grand authority, the ultimate. If you are denying me, watch out, because you may wind up dying denying me, and then you give me no opportunity to confess you in the end. I will have to agree with your position in the end, and I will also, in agreement with your decision, have to deny you. He is pleading with us, give me opportunity to defend you. Don't be continually now in this life denying me. Why would we deny him? None of our arguments are fair and acceptable. They're all stupid. Why? Well, I'm denying God because. I was watching one of the presidential debates. CNN, Wolf Blitzer, I think, was the guy on CNN, was asking the candidates these various questions, and then Mike Huckabee is an ordained Baptist minister running for president. I don't even know that or not. And they're asking these questions about policy, and Wolf Blitzer turns to Mike Huckabee and says, do you believe in the story that God created? And Mike Huckabee said, well, I find it odd that you'd ask that question of me in this debate, but you did ask it, so I will answer. And I, from that moment on, it's all over the internet. Wolf Blitzer wished he wouldn't have asked the question. This is a CNN audience. He says, well, if you're asking me, do I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Absolutely yes. So then he goes, I'm sorry, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, watch this, it's so embarrassing. That's not what I asked you. It was what he asked him. But he said, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you believe in a literal 7 days of creation? He didn't even ask that question. But I love what Huckabee said. He said, now listen, did it take God 24 hours to do each day? I don't know. Did it take him longer to do each day? I don't know. He said, I wasn't there. But I know this, that he created. He's the creator. And he said it, textbook biblically right on answer, okay? Watch this. If you can get past that verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, then it's downhill all the way. It's easy after that. And frankly, even the first verse should be easy if you just apply critical thinking. You have got to answer. And Jack, what does this have to do with confession? It has everything to do with it. If you go back to what so many people are trusting in, that it's all a random accident of things crashing together and we walked out of it, you see this big explosion and then man comes walking out. There's no transitional forms in the fossil records. You'd think there'd be one. There are none. Evolutionists are grasping for straws to try to find something to... They're not looking for the missing link. Do you understand that? The whole chain is gone. They've got one thought, and they're trying to find the chain. But when you say, we're looking for the missing link, as though if they found one more bit of evidence, it'd tie it all together. It's not true. How'd you get here today? Did you take your car? Did you take a motorcycle? How'd that thing come into being? Did you throw dynamite in your backyard, bunch of earth go up, and out came a Harley? Yeah, that's ridiculous. What kind of a fool would believe something like that? What kind of a fool would believe that something so perfect as this life and the things associated with it would crawl out of a primordial ooze? When did your eyeball in the evolutionary process then say, first of all, why would your body forming say, I think I need an eye? In fact, I'd like to have two eyes on the front of my face. And then it develops an eye. Remember, this is all an accident. This is all from dynamite. Develops an eye, and then it says, now, stop right there. My eye has evolved enough. That's good enough. And then if that wasn't hard enough, you got to have a male and a female evolving at the same time. And then in the same month, think each other's cute. And not have a headache. And come together and make other little things like that. Think about it. No, in the beginning, everything you and I enjoy, use, look at, and I'll argue this, everything you and I enjoy, use, and look at. Did you see the sunrise this morning? I tell you, I don't know about you, but I was in my backyard and I went, yes, got to go, but that was great. Only lasts for a few moments, you know that? Or did you sit there and go, what a wonderful outgrowth of a massive, confused explosion of... Why was the sky that color? Why are trees green? The sky blue? Why are things the way that they are? So pleasant to us? Because there's a designer who made it all. And the Bible makes it very clear that that designer who made it all made you. We are the crown jewels of his creation. And even instilled, he engineered within you and I the ability to choose. He didn't give that to a tree. A tree's got to do what a tree's got to do. But he gave you the opportunity to choose. And isn't it amazing? With all that he's done, he made you. And if you've had kids, this will just be an epiphany. You can shower your kids with love and care and gifts and attention. And those little stinkers can walk up to you and say, I don't like you anymore. Or like I did when I was like 6 years old, get a little stick with a hobo sack on it and say, I'm running away. And that lasts about as long as two houses down or until I get a hunger pain. And then I got to come home. That's man today. Can you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It means I confess you as my Creator. I've run away from home. I've got two houses down and I found out I'm scared. The Lord says today, that's okay. I want you to be my friend. I care for the sparrows. That means I care for you. Come on home. Come back. Don't worry. Just don't be a religious, self-righteous nincompoop trying to run your life without me. I made you. I know what's best. Come on home. And that's what he's saying today. He says it every day. And so Jesus says to confess him. And so we do well to confess him. Now we end with this. This is a tough call. Some of you are going to get very nervous here in a minute. I'm telling you up front in advance because I know what I'm talking about. This word, homologeo, same word. For those of you today who have never publicly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do that today, and it will come back to you like casting your bread out upon the water, as the author writes, and you listen for the future day. When you stand before the Lord, you're going to hear Jesus say, Father, Mike's with me. He believes that I died and rose again from the grave for him. He believes what I wrote to him, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus would say, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Father, he's mine. You say, well, Jack, I want that. Then my friend today, as fragile as life is, I would grab somebody today. If you believe Jesus died and rose again from the dead and he's the one who forgives you of your sins, you own him today. He's waiting to own you. We want you to come. There's nothing greater than when the little kid starts to take their first steps to you. Come on. He wants you to come. Don't hold out anymore. Don't blow it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called When All Else Fails. A look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 12, part of our chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we don't have to remind you of the importance of this Saturday's date in our nation's recent history. We're speaking, of course, about September 11th. And if you've wondered if perhaps there's some way for you to participate in a service or exercise, well, you're invited to join us here, either at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills or online if you're not in Southern California. Either way, it's an opportunity to show appreciation for our God-granted freedoms. Our 9/11 service here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is something we do every year and something you don't want to miss, and here's one reason. Outspoken author and native daughter to Lebanon, Brigitte Gabriel, is the featured speaker. Our 9/11 service here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills will also air live on hischannel.com, so if you're not in the area, just point and click. And we've provided a link to his channel from our own calvaryCCH.org. If you are local and need a map to our campus, that's provided as well. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.